This is the Sherlock and Milner series of podcasts for Franklin Matters. Today we want to look at the three things you need to know from the town council meeting that occurred on July 23rd, 2008. First, there's a bylaw under discussion. They just had the first reading to adjust notifications to the citizen depending upon what is coming up in terms of town business. Second, DPW, Department of Public Works, provides an update on projects around town. And third, there's a rather extensive presentation also at the meeting on the stormwater and how the town proposes to handle it. Ultimately, it'll come down to an additional fee or tax, depending upon your interpretation. So these are the three things coming out of the town council meeting that I think you need to know. First, we'll take the full segment, approximately 7 minutes in meeting, and play it for you. It gives the full discussion on the bylaw for adjusting notifications, including the question and answers from some of the counselors with Town Administrator Nutting and Attorney Mark Serrell replying. So we'll let you listen to that. Again, approximately 7 minutes.
Next, we're going to skip to Bylaw Amendment 08-627, Chapter 4, Public Notice in Advertising Public Hearings, First Reading. Clerk will please read.
Bylaw to amend the Code of the Town of Franklin at Chapter 4. Be it enacted by the Franklin Town Council that Chapter 4 of the Code of the Town of Franklin is amended as follows. Article 6, Public Notice in Advertising of Public Hearings. Section 4-15, Public Notice.
Motion to waive the reading.
Second.
All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None.
Jeff? I'll give you an overview and Mark can answer. This is just a way to try to save a little money instead of advertising twice for, this is again non-zoning things which have legal requirements, but we'd advertise once and we wouldn't necessarily have to use certified mail for legal notices, and it's just a way to try to cut some costs and save some money. And Mark can go into any detail about the specifics of what it would apply to, for instance.
Any questions? Deb?
I understand doing it once instead of twice, but why decrease the amount of time you're giving the public to know? Why make it, instead of 14, why make it 7? Why not leave it at 14 so at least they have more time if they want to come to something?
It's a minimum. You could give it more time, but and the problem becomes when you have to get legal notices into the paper and then when they schedule it and when it ends up getting run. So it's got to be published at least that far in advance.
You can do 10, you can do...
I would just, you know, 7 days, if you're on vacation and you really want to show up to a public hearing, I don't think that gives a person a lot of time to plan if it's something that affects them.
Again, if you wanted to make 10, it's not going to be the end of the world. We were trying to, you know...
And my other question, we're changing it from certified to regular postal mail, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Certified.
And then we're saying anything that applies to the municipality, we don't necessarily have to do it at all? Is that what we're saying? We're eliminating that notification?
Yes.
To which question? To the first one or the...
Well, the first one, is, unless I'm reading it wrong, it says we're going to go to regular U.S. Postal Service.
That's correct.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
Then the second part of that, or the second different part, is that if it's anything to do with this municipality, we don't have to notify the residents at all?
Not for the types of things that... First of all, there are certain cases where statutes require both publication and notice by mailing. Mm-hmm. And then this is a default situation, this bylaw. So we're adding additional requirements on ourselves that don't exist in the law otherwise. So
give an example.
Well, if there's if there's a board that's enacting regulations, some boards have authority to enact regulations. The planning board, the zoning board,
Board of Health.
They virtually all have authority to enact regulations. We're trying to eliminate any kind of ambiguity as to whether they have to give notice by mailing or not. Also, if they're taking an enforcement action, eliminating any ambiguity that they're not required to give notice. There's no reason, there's no objective reason for it.
But right now we are giving notice.
Because either that or we're ignoring the bylaw.
Okay.
The bylaw is not particularly well drafted, and it's as a result of that, it's creating situations where we may be not meeting its requirements. So this clarifies under what circumstances publication or notice has to be given, and in the absence of a statutory mandate.
Okay, I guess by the next reading, could you bring more examples of when it would be applicable and when it wouldn't be applicable? Just because I hate to not notify the public if it's something they need to be notified about. And, you know, a few years back, we kind of went through this when we said that municipality, when we were doing building projects, didn't have to necessarily go through all the boards that a regular, and I don't know that I ever really agreed with that either, so I just want to make sure that I know exactly what we're talking about, but for now, if you could just bring some examples the next time, so I kind of understand. Thanks.
Tom? Thank you. So how much money do we anticipate saving?
I'd have to get it
on an annual basis.
All I know is certified mail is five something versus 42 cents. I mean, I'd have to get a.
And legal publication is extremely expensive.
We'll try to get that between now and.
That'd be good to know because I.
To pay a lot of money for legal ads.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the the change from certified to you regular mail,
right. But
the going from two notices to one notice. I worry a little bit that opens, you know, we're going to get more and more complaints about people not knowing what's going on.
Well, I mean, one of the issues, the question is how many people actually get the local paper that advertises in this day and age versus on the web and other mediums. I mean, 25 years ago, everybody read the local paper. Today, I bet you don't have 10% coverage.
And if you read them, how many people go and bother to look at legal notices? Other maybe mortgage foreclosures.
Yeah,
so I don't know, but it's all
going to be speculation. I mean, nobody
we'll
really knows, right? It would be good to know how much we're saving if we're going to take this step.
I agree.
Is there any? Is there even any other possibilities of either looking at email distribution or, we have our new. I've gotten all kinds of automated phone calls from the town lately in different things. Could we use that for notifications?
Remember, these are all meetings that are posted under the open meeting law for starters. Many of them have their agenda.
But the last place people are going to look is in the lobby at town hall.
And you have the website with notices there. So there's plenty of places where notices are available that are more likely to be checked than the newspaper.
I'd just like to know how much money we're going to save. Thank you.
Anyone else? All those in favor?
You want a motion to move bylaw amendment 08627 to a second reading?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, none.
How did that sound to you? I really want to see what the answers to the questions Bartlett and Doak asked. How much will we save with this? And what notices does this affect? I understand the need to save money. I'm all for it. And the tombstone ads in particular, those clearly can go away. But with the new website still under the transition, I wouldn't bank on that being a key delivery of information. So maybe a combination of the phone notifications, regular mail, newspaper, and other postings. Maybe that'll work, but at least those couple of questions I think need to get answered, so I'll be ready for the second reading, and hopefully we'll have some notification as to when that's going to be. So if you do have any questions from your part, you'll be able to voice them before the town adjusts how they notify us as to what's going to happen. Second item, DPW sets up for their presentation on stormwater. And while they're doing that, the DPW director provides an update on what's going on, the various projects that are underway. So we'll let that happen. That's about 5.5 minutes as you go through the various updates of what's going on.
Presentation, discussion, stormwater management.
Need to introduce yourselves.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Very good. I'm Bruce Kenridge, Director of Public Works. This is Denise Zambrowski. She also works in the Department of Public Works. This is John Van Cor. He's with CEI Engineering. And Eileen Panthier is also with CEI Engineering. She's working on us on a couple of stormwater projects. Could I just give you a quick update on some DPW stuff going on, the construction, just while they're setting up?
Sure.
Complete work so far pretty much this year has been Upper Union Street. That's been paved. The sidewalks have been installed. Bend Street in Fuller Place have also been reconstructed after the water line was installed last year. And then Daniels and Short Street, the water line's in. We're going to be working on the services later on, finishing up this summer. And just to remind the council, these are a typical project that DPW does that we don't bid out the whole contract. We kind of act as a GC on. So a lot of DPW personnel and staff work on it, particularly engineering department. Highway department goes up there and, you know, tidies up everything, backfills all the curbing, puts a loam and seed down that we have to pay a contractor for. So the guys have done an excellent job with that. Coming up shortly is going to be the Beaver Street culvert, and that's probably the middle of August. It's going to be a pretty good impact on the town because depending on, we're still waiting the final dewatering plan, but that culvert is going to be closed anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks. So it's going to affect, you know, the use of Beaver Pond and also the recycling facility. So, but once we get an exact date on it, we will advertise that. We're going to put it out there.
It's going to affect the use or the access to?
You're going to have to go around.
Okay. But it's not going to affect the pond or...
Oh, absolutely not. You just,
okay.
But as you know, it's a pretty good detour. You're going to have to, you know, loop all the way down and around on either side.
Why wouldn't you do this in September when school starts instead of August?
Because of water conditions, because this is the lowest time of year for water.
Oh.
So that's the toughest part of this job is to, you know, bypass the water. So been pretty good with that. But once we get an exact date, we'll absolutely let everybody know. We'll post it, do the call thing, keep everybody up. Another thing on Beaver Street, we've been promised by the state for quite some time they're going to reline the intersection there and put some signals in. As everybody drives the Beaver Street in 140 intersection, you know how dangerous that is trying to make a left or right-hand turn, depending which way you're going. Mm-hmm. So the state has promised us, they've promised me for 2 years they're going to do that, but it's supposed to be on the schedule.
Are they going to do a left turn?
Correct.
Okay.
Then we're doing a drainage project in Crossfield that's going to be starting shortly. And then the Beach Street water line, I know that's come up for a number of years now. That's the one that engineering is able to work through a couple of contractor developers in town to actually do work in other areas. And that was to put the water line in that area, which is the burden of the job is actually on these contractors to do the work. We're just providing material, save the town a lot of money. We've been dealing with developers that, you know, having funding problems and this, that, and the other thing, but we think we've got to come to a resolution, so that's, we're expecting that to start shortly. We're going to be doing a couple overlays. Obviously, the one in Summer Street, Upper Summer Street, where the sewer trenches went in, we had to do an in-house drainage repair up there, so we kind of improved that. We're going to be doing the intersection of Green and Miller Street, and then we're going to be doing big improvement. We want to do all of Chestnut Street, basically from 140 to the bridge, but we got some drainage issues close to the 140 side, so we're going to do the drainage issues either later on this fall or early next spring. We're going to go ahead and overlay this year because we don't need to do drainage improvements, basically from Longfellow Street to the railroad bridge. And then the only thing I'd just like the council to be aware of, that DPW's been working hard at the schools, and you know, we're doing the outside grounds now. The highway department's been outstanding under Phil. Phil's great with lists, and the guys are, and come up with a good list and a lot of cleanup. We started some painting. I've had the opportunity to meet a number of principals. The feedback I've gotten has been very positive so far. We're going to keep moving forward with that. The water department's also got involved moving some hydrants. If you remember, particularly at the high school, there was like hydrants in the middle of parking lots and, you know, and we moved the one over by the sledding hill that was always a danger behind the senior center, so we're doing some of that relocation also. But that seems to be going pretty well.
Excellent.
So, are we ready?
Well, there's a question.
Not a question, just a suggestion. Not any of these streets that are cut-throughs, like Chestnut Beach and all that, if you could send one of those automated, because a lot of people go to the next town over via those, and if they could have some heads-up that, you know, the road's under construction, don't come this way. I think the voicemail thing is a great...
I know that the police department's got two boards.
Okay.
That, they're out now, and we can definitely use those.
Good. Thanks.
I hope that the insights on the various projects that are underway around town and those that are coming, both immediately and in the near future, was beneficial for you. So the third piece, I don't really have an audit section for. The next major piece of the meeting was really around the stormwater presentation. The presentation provided plenty of good information. It's really too much to include in this particular podcast, though. What will come out of it is a further discussion around the stormwater fee or tax? Or is it really a good idea to do this kind of investment? Those are some of the questions that the council has had following the presentation. I sent a message via email to the DPW to confirm that this is projected to be an annual cost of about $500,000. Now, if they haven't spent anything going from zero to $500,000, might be a bit much. Can we do it for less and spread it over time? So maybe it's only $200,000 a year to get into this. That wasn't really raised, so that's my two cents in this particular discussion. I'd like to see what's going to happen on that side. So, in closing, we covered the three main items, at least from my point of view. And I think the three things that you need to know from the town council meeting of this past July 23rd, the bylaw to adjust the notifications, DPW update on the projects going around town, and then certainly the start of the discussion around the stormwater and how the town's going to handle it. Would that be a fee, tax, and then what would the amount be? So this has been Steve Sherlock providing another podcast as a public service to my fellow Franklin citizens and voters. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.blogspot.com. If you have a question, you can email me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. SureSteve, SHERSTEVE, @gmail.com. Or feel free to comment via the website. That also sends an email directly to me. And then, of course, the music intro and closing to this podcast is from the PodSafe Music Network, John Schmidt with his powerful, exhilarating piano music.